Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking to Jessica Balladad. Jessica is a six-year cancer survivor. She's the creator of Feel for Your Life, which is a free mobile application.
Mobile app.
That provides resources on how to perform self-breast exams and when to get screenings. And it also allows users to track and monitor their changes and set reminders. So Jessica was diagnosed with breast cancer at 33 years old. And she used that experience to basically create this mission that is changing the way women advocate for their medical care. It's the first app of its kind created by a breast cancer patient and has been downloaded tens of thousands of times all over the world. In 2024, Jessica implemented an AI feature into the app to help patients interpret and better understand pathology reports from their breast cancer screenings. Oh my gosh, I see such a need for this because how often are patients posting their pathology reports on social and asking what it means?
Ugh, all the time.
Right. She is the fourth generation on her paternal side of the family to be diagnosed with breast cancer, and yet no known gene mutation has been found in her lineage. So she first learned how to do a self-breast exam after having a benign tumor removed at 18, and 15 years later is when she was diagnosed with stage 2B IDC after performing a routine exam. So she underwent 16 rounds of chemo, a double mastectomy, 24 rounds of radiation, a hysterectomy, and a 10-hour flap reconstruction. So homegirl knows the breast cancer journey, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, since launching the app, Jessica has expanded her advocacy into healthcare reform and has helped write legislation in the state of Tennessee to promote risk-reducing measures against cancer and diseases. So we're really excited to talk to her.
She's a girl on a mission. Really good interview.
Yeah. But before we get to Jessica, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our waitlist, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
Well, welcome, Jessica. Thank you so much for being here.
I am thrilled to be here today. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. For everybody listening, can you kind of give us a brief background or history of your breast cancer experience just to kind of set the tone for all the work that you're doing today?
I found a lump in my breast when I was 33 years old. I was doing an intentional self-exam while I was taking a shower. I had just gone to my well woman's exam. I thought, okay, this surely the doctor would have told me about this. She checked over everything, didn't say a word to me. I was eventually diagnosed with stage 2B invasive ductal carcinoma or breast cancer. I went through 16 rounds of chemotherapy, 24 rounds of radiation. I had a double mastectomy, a hysterectomy, and a 10-hour flap reconstruction where they took fat tissue and blood vessels from my stomach and placed them in my chest to recreate my body. And I'm here today because a self-exam is what saved my life.
That's amazing. You and I have probably the same kind of, were you estrogen positive?
I was ER, PR positive, HER2 negative.
Okay, that's what Sarah is. I was just ER positive, but you and I were the same stage and probably went through the whole same treatment plan. So yeah, I think that's really interesting that a self-exam kind of saved your life, because you had kind of a scare when you were much younger, right? And that's what set you down the path of self-examination.
Right. When I was 18 years old, I was a freshman in college and I accidentally found a lump in my breast. I thought, oh my God, am I too young to have cancer at this stage? And this is before Dr. Google was really a thing that you went to. This 2003. So Google was around, but you didn't Google your symptoms necessarily. And I was raised by my dad and it was up to me to find a gynecologist on my own. I had an aunt who had been through breast cancer, several family members, and they're like, you need to go, you got to get this checked out. And so I did. It was a benign tumor called a fibroadenoma. I had it removed, but it was that experience that did set the path for me doing self-exams throughout adulthood.
I'm curious, Sarah, before, because I got breast cancer at 35. Sarah, you were 33 as well?
32.
Okay, so Sarah was 32. I was 35. I had never done a self-exam prior to finding my lump.
Mm-hmm,
did you, had you?
Mm-mm.
No. That surprises me with you, Sarah, because you were in the whole birthing world and yeah. I would have thought, well, women, no. Yeah.
I mean, I did find my lump in the shower, so.
Yeah, I think most people that are of that age just, it's not on their radar, mm-hmm. right? Because you're told that you don't need your first mammogram until you're in your 40s. Mm-hmm. And so you're just sitting there and it's like not anything that you're thinking of. But we've had somebody come through our program at Faith Through Fire that was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think if there's one thing that we're noticing in society today, it's that the breast cancer rates are rising.
Yep,
and they're rising in younger and younger women. So how important is it that people who are in that high school age know about this and know that they should be checking themselves, you know? I want to talk, Jessica, about when you started feeling prompted to do something about this issue. But before we do that, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
All right. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News!
All right, you ready for this, Boobs?
Yes.
Okay, so the story is not necessarily funny. I think it's mostly the pictures. So, okay.
Nobody can see the pictures.
I know, but I'm going to explain it and you can just visualize it. So you get speeding tickets.
I might.
Have you ever got one in the mail?
In the mail?
Like
no.
From the pictures?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, so apparently, where was this? Let's see. This was in Germany. So okay. Apparently they have these speeding.
Is it like a driving chicken or something? Is yes. it like okay. a mascot?
So... I can't even look at it without laughing.
Okay, let me see.
Okay, so in Germany, they captured a Muppet wearing
okay.
mat, like okay. costume on the speeding camera. Can you just guess which one it is?
Muppet. I'm going to say... I mean
the green, the blue lovable one.
Oh, like Cookie Monster?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Cookie Monster's driving.
So you can see his eyeballs right there. But look at
stop it.
I mean, he doesn't just have the mask on. I mean,
that is
he's got fuzzy little hands and
That's
everything.
Legit. You know what?
I want to know, where was he running off to? Do you think he just like got a stash of cookies and he was like, I gotta get out of here?
I think it's funny that he's wearing the mask in the car.
Like, well, I just like how they wrote it, because they said, apparently eating cookies is not the only thing that Cookie Monster does fast.
You know what's funny is he could totally contest this, because even though they have his license plate, he could argue it's
that's
not him.
Not him.
Right.
Do you think that's what maybe he was like on, he was like a getaway driver for a heist?
Oh, that's what I would do.
And he, oh. All right, put that on your list if you're ever going to do a heist.
Be a Muppet.
Be a Muppet.
That's not a bad idea to have a mask. I mean, yeah. if you get busted, I mean, I think that there's plausible
just,
deniability
looks so
there.
Silly.
Like, I don't know what you mean, sir.
Now, are they gonna now take it makes me want to drive around in something and to just get video content of people seeing it.
I'm wondering, like, how well can he see out of that? Because it's not just like a face mask. It's like a full-on head. Like, he has to place that over his entire head.
And usually you can only, like, look out of...
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, he can only look out through the googly eyes.
It's quite dangerous.
I guess. Did they say, did he get the ticket? Like, did they figure out who he was?
It was like mailed in to him.
Right. Like, so he received it and he was like, darn it.
I mean, can you imagine? He's like, oh, there's my cookie.
I think I would put that in my life scrapbook. Oh. That would be like a memory I'd want to return to. I don't know about you guys, but I won't remember even funny things like that. I won't remember it unless I save it and document it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We were actually just talking about that before we got on the podcast. Yeah. You know, you have to like write things down or it will
slip. Well, you remember the things that were traumatic or like hard or changed your life or whatever. But the funny things you like giggle about and you tell you it a couple times and then you forget about it.
Right. Yeah. I would put that in my scrapbook. I hope that guy did that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what would be really funny is if he showed up at City Hall wearing the costume to pay it.
Oh, hilarious.
Like
Cookie Monster checking in to pay my bill.
Cookie Monster.
Do you think he brought the judge cookies?
I don't know. He should.
I brought you the box, but I ate them on the way here.
How does he say it?
Me one cookie.
Cookie Monster.
Cookie. Ah.
There's your bibs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
So, Jessica, when did you start feeling the need to get involved in cancer care and kind of make a change in the way that we advocate for ourselves?
When I was going through chemotherapy and I was telling my friends, hey, I had cancer, I didn't want to tell anybody because I was terrified of being cancer ghosted. And I mean, it did happen, but you know, the people who really meant the most to me were there for me. And I thought, okay, I want them to know what I went through and I want them to understand how I got to where I got diagnosed. And as I came out and told my story about going through chemotherapy and shaving my head and everything, they were like, wait, how did you even know to go to the doctor about that? And I said, well, I do myself exams every month right after my period, don't you? And it was crickets. And, you know, just like you all were saying, you know, it's not something that's really front of mind for women. But I found out just through conversations and surveys and whatnot that there were three reasons women weren't doing self-exams. Number one, no one ever taught them how. Number two, they felt ashamed of their bodies or touching themselves and didn't feel comfortable doing it. And number three, they were uninsured or underinsured, and they were afraid of the cost associated with getting scanned or examined or finding out a diagnosis and not sharing what next steps to take. And that's when I thought, okay, I've got to start doing something about this. And I started Feel for Your Life as a social media project at that time in 2018.
So tell us a little bit about Feel for Your Life. How does it work?
Feel for Your Life became an app during the pandemic. When I was asked to participate in the NFL's Crucial Catch campaign, you'll see it during October, all of the screening advertisements and, you know, informing people, telling people, hey, go get your mammogram, go get screened, early detection matters. I was asked to participate that in 2020 and share my story about that. Women were missing their screenings and they were getting diagnosed at later stages. And I thought, wait a second, what about the women under 40 or the women who have never had cancer or, you know, and they have a genetic disposition to cancer, or they just need to be informed of what they can do for themselves. During the pandemic, we didn't know what was going to happen. We felt a loss of control over basically so much in our lives. And I thought, I want to help women regain control over that. So I used my quarantine time to make a blueprint and learn how to develop an app. And I created Feel for Your Life. I wanted it to show women how to perform self-exams. I wanted it to be something where they could track and monitor their progress in the app and also set monthly reminders. And I also created other tools and resources for advocating for your breast health when you go to the doctor, taking risk-reducing measures, and just doing everything that I wish I knew to do before I was diagnosed.
How often do you feel young women in particular are told when they call their practitioner, you know, with a lump, it's nothing, it's a swollen lymph node? Because that's what I was told. When I found my lump, I called my OB and they said, well, are you on your period? And I said, yes. And they said, oh, it's just a swollen lymph node. Like, it's not a big deal. If it doesn't go away in a few weeks, call us back. And I hung up the phone and I thought, and my husband said, oh, see, you're fine. And I said, no, I said, this doesn't feel right to me. I called him back and I said, can I have my first ever mammogram? And they said, sure. And then obviously I was diagnosed. But I always think back to that moment and I thought, what if I would have just said, okay, they've assured me it's nothing. And then I get busy with life. And all of a sudden now it's 6 to 8 months later. Mm-hmm. And instead of stage two, my diagnosis was stage four. So I wonder how often that's the case. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't have any statistics, but anecdotally speaking, I hear it happen pretty often. You know, a few times a month, I'll have a woman who's sent me a DM or hit me up over the app or something. And she says, hey, my doctor does not care to see me about this lump in my breast, or I can't get a screening. They won't, you know, authorize a mammogram. And I know women in the previvor community who have histories of breast cancer in their family, and they have to jump through hurdles and over things with their insurance companies to get them approved for scans that they've had, you know, a history of getting. Women under 40, you know, there's a reason why we generally get diagnosed at later stages. And, you know, I have strategies and things that I help women do to advocate for themselves in that. And it's unfortunate that it happens. I know doctors are overwhelmed and they have the best intentions most of the time, but sometimes we have to be a little more assertive and push for the things that we need for our care in those moments.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. You're working kind of on the reform side too, right? So you've developed this app. You're really interested in empowering women to take control of their own health. I think I read, you know, that you're also kind of advocating for some reforms. Is that accurate?
Yes. So I created the Feel for Your Life Act in the state of Tennessee, which would require high school students at their ages at a level that they understand to learn about how to do self-breast exams, testicular exams, and skin exams. And then at the federal level, I'm working on bills that would allow for more accessible and affordability for healthcare, more transparency with insurance companies, lots of crazy acronyms and whatnot, but we are making really great progress. And at the federal level, I know, like with the election and everything that's come up, everyone's kind of concerned. I'm not concerned about the bills that I am advocating for. I think they are going to improve healthcare. It's bipartisan, both sides of the political spectrum support the bills that we're trying to push through. It's just creating awareness in Congress and letting them know how it's going to benefit their constituents. So I'm very excited about that.
That's really exciting. And when did you launch this app? Is it in 2020?
It came out in 2021, fall of 2021.
Wow, you've been busy.
Yeah. I'm tired just hearing it.
Yeah, right. So if women want to download this app, and how does this pertain to women who have already been diagnosed? Are there tools within this app that help them as well if they've had lumpectomies and they still need to get mammograms? Or what about women who have had double mastectomies? A lot of people are unaware that they can still develop a secondary cancer after a mastectomy. I didn't know that. I thought once there was no breast tissue, there was no concern for another lump showing up on my chest, but that's not true. So is this app relevant to those who have already been through the cancer process? Are there any tools specific to them?
Absolutely. In the spring, I launched an AI tool inside of the Feel for Your Life app. It's called Breast Friend AI. And one of the things that it can do, it can take your pathology reports from any scan, exam, any lab work, just anything that you've had done. I've actually used it for my cat's cancer diagnosis. And you can... You can put the pathology inside. You can copy and paste from your online portal into the Feel for Your Life app. It'll take all of that medical jargon and translate it into easy to understand terms that you can use to communicate better with your doctor. And it'll give you questions to ask your medical provider based on the specific pathology that it's reading and translating for you. But it also helps women, you know, find screening facilities if you have insurance or if you don't have insurance. It helps you find second opinions. It'll create playlists for you if you just want to get hyped before a surgery or going to get a scan or exam. I've created it to be multifunctional and intuitive to a woman's experience to advocate for herself.
That's amazing. One of the things that we hear a lot is that a woman feels a lump, they go, they get a biopsy, and then they find their results in the portal before anybody calls them. And then inevitably, the office either doesn't call them back or it's over a weekend. And so they're suffering with these results. It would be really interesting to promote your app to them, like, hey, put your pathology into this and it'll give you clear language on what you're dealing with, because it's just the not knowing that really freaks them out. And a lot of things that we hear too is that they'll see the word metastatic, which is referencing the fact that lymph nodes are involved, and they automatically think it's a stage 4 diagnosis, and that causes a lot of unnecessary emotional suffering as well. So I could see this app being really relevant to people who just got their first mammogram or had a biopsy and need to know what's going on. I know you've done specific legislation in Tennessee, but we're here in Missouri. And one of the things that we're constantly plugging when it makes sense, and I think this is one of those times, is we have a program called Show Me Healthy Women. And it's meant to capture the women that don't have insurance, who can't afford to get mammograms. If you go through Show Me Healthy Women and they find a breast cancer, Missouri pays for all of your treatment. If you use Show Me Healthy Women after you've already been diagnosed, you won't be allowed to use it. And so you can't, then your treatment is not covered. So what breaks my heart is when somebody who's uninsured gets diagnosed with breast cancer and they didn't come through Show Me Healthy Women. Now they have that additional financial burden. So I think there's so many resources, it sounds like, in Tennessee and in Missouri to really help women advocate for themselves and to be an active part of their care. And I just really commend you for what you've been able to accomplish in a very, very short period of time. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know, just hearing about that, I'm like, oh, I think I know some people out there I could probably get on boots on the ground to advocate out there for maybe reforming that, changing some things. But yeah, I'm a fixer of things. If I see something wrong, I'm going to try to fix it.
It's so true. Once you see it, you can't unsee it, right?
Yeah.
So what's next for your organization? Where are you guys headed? What are you excited about? What's got you going right now?
Yeah. So I have a publication that I'm creating called FFYL. It's the Feel Fear Life magazine. It's going to be a digital publication. It's going to talk about all the advocacy issues that I do in the app, but expand on them. What is coming out, you know, in clinical trials, what medical devices coming out, screening regulations and how they're changing. There's a lot of conversation right now about birth control and how it may influence someone to get breast cancer, not saying it directly, I'm not trying to
say
that.
Oh, girl, that's something we all think. I'm like, I took birth control for years. Yeah. You can't tell me putting those hormones into my body for that long didn't have some, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people are drawing those dots.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, just things like people come to me like, I didn't know, or, you know, here I am in high school learning the Pythagorean theorem, but I don't know how to do a self-exam, you know, just creating more resources. I have more advocacy than I'm doing at the federal level to hold insurance companies and PBMs accountable to the care they're supposed to be, providing to patients. I've got a lot of work there that I'm doing, and I'm so excited about it. And just keeping the app updated, it grows by leaps and bounds every week. And I'm just so blessed and humbled that women are trusting me with their breast health advocacy, and anything that I can do to serve them, I'm going to go after it and do it.
That's awesome.
I love it. Woman on the mission.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Before we wrap up, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, so we are back. Before we close out the episode, what do you want to leave women with? And then also, where can they find you, like social media handles? And then obviously the app is on all platforms, right?
Correct. Okay. Yes. 5 little easy things. Number 1, find a doctor that aligns with your goals and that will advocate with you. Number 2, do your self-exams and track them in the Feel for Your Life app. Number 3, talk to your doctor about getting into a screening routine and if you need supplemental screenings. Number 4, understand your breast density. It can play a vital role in the types of screenings that you get. And number 5, understand your genetic disposition to breast cancer and all cancers to see how they correlate so that you can take the proper measures that will reduce your risk or mitigate risk for breast cancer and disease in the future. And you can find the Feel for Your Life app at feelforyourlife.com. It is absolutely free, and it's also available in the App Store and the Google Play Store.
Perfect. Thank you so much for what you're doing for the community, federally and locally, and all your advocacy work.
Yeah. Thank you, Jessica. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here as well.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.